Hey folks, my name is Jason Spies and I travel across these great states talking to small business owners, CEOs, policymakers, musicians, and mentors about making money, giving back, and balancing life. I find out how they prioritize professional and personal time while still making money. Yes indeed, our guests are real heavyweights in understanding business and life. So get ready to relax, learn a little bit, and get a cup of coffee ready because my name is Jason Spies and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Welcome to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Thank you, folks, for pulling up a stool and joining the conversation. We got a fantastic program in store for you today. James May, the owner of Century Games, talks about the rise in board games, role-playing games in today's economy. Michael Jesuritz, Hawker Wells Services, shares the story about how four young entrepreneurs went out to the Bakken and came back with a thriving business. The Bakken oil fields, that is. And speaking of the energy industry, Michael Ferjone of the Energy Safety Institute, he talks about how his business model was shaped in to fill a niche area in the crisis management difficult workplace situations, not only in oil and gas, but construction and other areas like that. Michael Ferjone, a little bit later on in the program, Energy Safety Institute. And our own Kids in Capitalism multimedia kidpreneur Otis landed a big interview. Jack Stark, CEO of Continental Resources. They sit down, talk about mowing lawns, the energy business, and also a little bit of advice for some young, aspiring entrepreneurs. My name is Jason Spies. This is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch Coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch Coaching.
I got to watch him give a talk at TEDx Brookings, and I saw him come into his own where he shared uncomfortable things from his past in a way that created a teaching environment. And Eric's somebody that could easily lead with all he's accomplished, and it's a long list.
To find out more information about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch come to your company or event, visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, James May, the owner of Century Games.
I'm James May. I own Broken Century Games here in Grand Forks, North Dakota.
What kind of games are we talking about here? I think of card games, I think of board games, I think of video games, and that industry has gotten so specific now that each one can almost sustain themselves. So which of those three, or outside of those three, do you do?
We do board games, card games, dice games. We do a lot of wargaming miniatures. So you a hobby game. You buy the parts and pieces of your army, you put them together, you paint them, and then you hit the battlefield and play.
So Warhammer?
Yep. So we do Warhammer and Bolt Action, Age of Sigmar. We've got Hobbit, Lord of the Rings, Guild Ball, Rune Wars, X-Wing Armada, Legion, and probably half a dozen more I can't remember.
So we were talking a little bit earlier today about just your customer, and I kind of pontificated that it would be that end of college age, first part of young adult age when you got extra money and no kids and this and that. And you were saying not so much. It's a different demographic. So talk to me about your main demographic, but then also you go outside of that.
Yeah, our core demographic is 36 to 44, 45. Those, you know, adults with growing kids, you know, probably kids in the fourth to ninth grade, and they're just reliving those glory days of playing board games. But now the board games are so much better than what they were when I was a kid, you know, co-op games or versus games, and you really get to play those games with your kids, and that's kind of the core of who we market to is the parents with kids. Here's a way to reconnect with your kids and play in something where everybody's involved, no technology required, and, you know, access critical thinking and creativity.
That's the part that's amazed me so much, is that we've had such a surge of iPad games and cell phone or smartphone games. But at the same time, the board game, the card game, the dice game market has grown astronomically too. Have you guys talked about that, about how odd that is, that the digital gaming has grown so much, but yet the old analog gaming has grown too?
Well, so in 2017, there were more games released in just a year than probably the preceding 15 years.
Wow.
Unique individual titles. So much stuff has come out. And a lot of it is that dichotomy of our current society of your cell phone is good for a 5-minute interaction, or, you know, here, let me play one more level on this or that. But it's a very solo activity, even in an arena like this, where it's this e-gaming come together, everybody play. There's not a lot of conversation. There's not a lot of community and socializing that happens. And so they separate that off with, they then play board games and card games. They go home and play Cards Against Humanity and then just have a time together, learning about themselves and other people. So they both kind of grew together in mass leaps.
You mentioned Cards Against Humanity. I saw, I think, Catan. There's a lot of new titles that I've never heard of, I've never seen before. The old Monopoly and the old Life, do you guys even sell those anymore, or do they have to be co-branded with Star Wars and Pokemon in order to sell? Does anybody buy the old classics?
People do buy the old classics, but you can pick those up at Target and Walmart, and a small mom-and-pop shop, even a mid-size, can't compete with their pricing structure. So we usually only carry the co-branded stuff, like the Rick and Morty Monopoly and Clue, the Harry Potter Clue, which, for the record, is the best Clue. And those style of games, those IP-branded ones are the ones we usually sell. But people still look for them. We just usually push them to some of the better titles that help you branch into new, bigger games, you know, learn new mechanics.
It seems a big part of the board game or the gaming shops is to have a place for people to hang out. I'm thinking of Paradox Comics in Fargo, North Dakota. Even the Dragon's Horde across the street in Moorhead, when I was there one day, they even had a place for people to hang out. And I didn't really see anybody buying anything. And so it made me wonder, like, this is interesting strategy, but I get it. You know, you get people there, they're used to it, they're familiar with it. And they might not buy everything, buy anything every single time, but they do, and this and that. Do you have that strategy, or is it only just games and they got to go? Or how does that work in your strategy?
So we're devious and terrible business people. We do have a place. We expect people to come in and play. We also rent the games so you can take them home and play them in your house, in your normal environment. So if you play pantsless wine drinking Monopoly Friday nights, I'm not judging, but you can do you. You have to have pants and you can't have wine in our store. But you can rent the game, take it home, play it. If you love it, sweet. You don't pay for the rental, you buy the game. The last thing we want is for you to have another copy of a game that you pull out every 6 months and you play it and you're like, this game sucks. And then you throw it back in your closet. 6 months later, you're like, we haven't played this in a while. You hit it on the table and you're like, this sucks. We want that type of game that you pull out repetitively and your kids are driving you insane to play. So we really foster that whole just play. You don't have to spend a ton of money. Like, it'll get you in the end. But we also talk about you have three kids, you know, it costs $10-$15 a head to go to the movies. $100 board game really isn't that bad.
To listen to the full-length interview with James May, the owner of Century Games, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Michael Jezeritz with Hawker Wellworks.
Hawker Wellworks, just like the bird with an ER, and then, of course, Wellworks. Describe to me a little bit about your company, Hawker Wellworks, and how you guys are involved with the oil and gas industry.
We make a hydraulic laydown machine that assists in the well servicing side. So it's basically assists to, once they drill a well and they bring in the workover rig, our machine will back to the well servicing rig and assist in lifting the tubulars, or if they're going to service a well and they need to remove the tubulars, it'll assist in removing them and putting them back on the pipe rack so they can service that well.
How did you guys get into that particular, I guess, niche part of the industry?
Well, we a bunch of entrepreneurs from Minnesota, and we heard rumors of this the oil explosion that was about to happen out in North Dakota about 6.5 years ago, roughly 6.5, 7 years ago, and we just started taking trips out there to see how we could get involved, and we kind of formed a group and just started talking to a lot of the companies that were out there, and we had guys within our group that had all different areas of expertise, and one of them had a fabrication background, and I came from the sales and marketing background, and then we just had some of your basic entrepreneurs that, money investors and things like that, and we looked on how we could get involved, and we actually, at that time there was a big need for man camps and things like that, so we kind of dabbled in that, right away. But we're always looking for a piece of equipment that we could build to market and distribute. And we started talking to some companies, we built our first laydown machine, and then we brought it out to a company out there, and we just gave it to them and said, hey, will you use this and tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like? And they used it on a couple jobs and brought it back to us and said, hey, you need to, we like it, but you need to make all these changes. So we took about 6-7 months of R&D after that and just made all the changes that they recommended and things that we could improve on the machine, and just really took their recommendations, and took it to the next level. And we brought it back out to them, and after we made those changes, and they really liked it, and they bought it. And he bought another one, and then he had a brother-in-law that owned a fishing and rental company, and they bought four of them, and it just spun from there.
Boy, that's quite a story. I'm looking at your guys' website, HawkerWellworks.com, talking with Michael Jezeritz with Hawker Wellworks. He's a CEO. And, I'm looking at some of your products you guys have, and, the one I can take a look at it and see how it would be applicable to the oil and gas industry. It's like pretty easy to see. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking at this other one, and this just looks like a flatbed. I mean, it doesn't look like there's much more to it. So explain to me how you guys are setting yourself apart a little bit, because obviously you are.
Yeah, we obviously it is it's a gooseneck trailer. The trailer itself, we fabricate it from the ground up. So I mean, we buy the axles, but we fabricate the entire trailer, and we build the, we really take pride in our construction and the quality of the trailer. So, we build it, oil field tough. We're building our units out of 4x4 square tubing and making it, as bulletproof as possible to survive the elements out in the field. But I also came from the automotive background. I actually owned a automotive franchise for about 10 years. So I wanted to make sure as we were designing this unit that it was easy for the technicians to work on, and it was easy for the operators to operate. So that's really what set us apart as far as, the quality of the machine and then the service and support that we provide after the sale. When I deliver a unit, I actually deliver every unit personally. So I have my driver bring the unit to the location, and then I meet the driver there, and I'll do training for the operators that are going to operate the unit. Then I grab the technicians or mechanics, and I completely go through from head to toe on the entire unit as far as this is how you service it. These are the things to look for after it comes back in, for maintenance and things like that. And that's really what set us apart is, as far as when I sell you a piece of equipment, we don't forget about you after that day. I mean, we are there. Our name's on the side of that also. We offer 24-hour tech support, you know, but, you know, it's just the relationships that we've built, and they know that we're in it together, and every unit that I've ever built is still working. So I guess that's really good advertising on its own, is that, you know, we really take pride on the longevity and the quality of our equipment.
You mentioned early in the interview that you're from Minnesota, Wilmer, Buffalo area, and that North Dakota's shale play, the Bakken Boom, if you will, was the siren song that brought you guys out to the Shale Play USA. And I understand you got some business out there, but then there was the thing called the downturn. And so many companies had to become innovative, whether it be with their product or their administration, or whether it be with their media choices or whatever it might be. In my industry, we had to reinvent ourselves, and we've done that, and we've had some success with it. And what it did for us is it really organically grew us into other shale plays, because a lot of these are linked together. What did you do? What success did you find? Because obviously, we're sitting here doing an interview right now, we're both still in business, so we survived the downturn. But are you in other shale plays than the Bakken, or are you just finding success out there?
No, we actually, so that was our primary focus when we started our business, just for logistics. I mean, logistically, it was our closest region to get involved in. And then once our products started getting out there and other people started seeing it, and obviously there's a lot of companies that work in the Bakken that are also working in a lot of other regions throughout the United States. So, you know, I really spent the first year, 3 years, I mean, whether you want to call it a road warrior or whatever you want to call it, but I basically just, you know, I'd fly into a region and rent a vehicle, and I would just go to every well servicing company, you know, rental company and everything, and passing out business cards, passing out brochures, you know, just pounding the streets, just to, you know, during that slow time, just getting people familiar with our product, and we then eventually started seeing kind of an explosion of growth in different regions. So, you know, it seemed like when one region would get really busy, another region would slow down. And you know, we all of a sudden got really heavy in Colorado, you know, in the DJ. And then all of a sudden we started getting a lot of presence in Texas and, you know, East Texas, South Texas, West Texas. I mean, it's kind of been all over. And now we're in every region throughout the United States. And actually, we just started branching into South America. Actually, I have a unit down in Colombia that we're starting to market and starting to get a lot of feedback. And you know, obviously every region's got some different requirements on equipment and things like that. So we're evolving with the changes. You know, they want something a little different down there than what we have up here, you know, but, you know, we're able to customize to a lot of the customers' requests.
Michael Jezeritz with Hawker Well Works, and I remember talking with Montana Rig Mats a few years ago, and they, like you, got some early success and even got into the international game, where they were shipping a few of their rig mats to Australia, I believe. And they had some hurdles or some ironing out with the wood, because other countries are worried about, of course, any sort of mites or larvae, etc. Did you have was it smooth sailing, or did you have any thing that stands out in terms of getting into that international marketplace? Because that, of course, is the next step for a lot of people, and a lot of people just kind of backdoor into it. Did you, I guess, are you comfortable sharing with how you got some international business?
Well, actually, we just you know, and this is pretty new to us, so we really focused on the U.S. to start with, and we wanted to grow at a pace that we were comfortable with. But I guess the biggest thing that I found with, you know, starting the branch in the international business is finding the right people to work with. You know, I found some great connections that were doing business in the U.S. that had, you know, they were already set up down there. So we built relationships with them as far as their network of, you know, customers and things like that.
To listen to the full-length interview with Michael Jezeritz with Hawker Well Works, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. With the people that I know, I'm thinking I'm drinking, I'm spinning, I'm grinning. Oh, my car stops when I go. The music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band. I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm smoking, I'm joking. Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Christy Huber, president of the United Way of Cass Clay, says about Hatch coaching.
I think it's a really exciting time for our young leaders today because leaders like Eric Hatch are changing the face of what it means to lead an organization or what it means to lead a brand. He's changing that. For many years, I think that the gold standard of leadership has been somebody who is very polished and has it all together or seemingly has it all together. And throughout the years, I think that we've now, especially with technology and social media, we are drawn to what's real.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, Michael Ferjone with Energy Safety Institute.
Hometown, and I just thought, you know what, in talking with a lot of the service companies too, they said, Mike, we're pulling our hair out. I mean, I'm good friends with a lot of these service companies, and, you know, we need good people, we're going to lose work. And I thought, you know, maybe the time is right for me to get involved with this and do this, you know, get this going again. So I just kind of took the bull by the horns and said, I'm going to do it, you know, this time rather than, you know, have it go with somebody else. And then, and you know, it's working out. Like I said, it's short term. That's all you need for entry level right now. Now we can progress into incumbent worker training, or we can specialize if there's a roustabout company that wants us to specialize in cutting and threading pipe or, you know, that kind of a thing, or flow back or whatever. We can concentrate on well, lease operation. I've been a lease operator back in the day as well. So, we can do that. We can specialize in those kind of things too, you know? So, but it's, like I said, it's the educational end of things. I think it's educating people on the oil field because, like I said, there's a lot of people that don't understand really, what it entails, how to drill a well, you know, where the activity is. And when some people go out of their, like I said, out of their area where they live down into some of these areas, I trained up a few workers already and out of northern Pennsylvania here, and they went down into the area and those guys just couldn't believe how much activity and, you know, young guys in the business like them, you know, are at the gas station going out to eat, whatever, and they go, holy cow, we didn't realize it. Any of this was happening, and actually, two of the trainees had college degrees. And if I can, I'll just go on to elaborate on that a little bit. There was two young men that had degrees in geology and couldn't find a job. And I told them, I said, I will get you out on the well pad. It'll be an entry level job for now. You'll be able to network with, you know, 6 or 12 different service companies out there. And I said, in the meantime, I'll help to look for you, because, you know, nothing's open right now, but I said, there's certain jobs for entry level geologists out there. Bachelor's degree is a mud logger. So I said, maybe something will come up along those lines. And wouldn't you know it, a job come up in, down in Midland, Texas. And, one of the young men made a phone call and talked to an individual down there, and he's moving to Midland, Texas now after 2 months after he started training. And he had moved up to a supervisor with the current company. He's doing water transfer. And then the, another young man just told me that there's another opportunity that I gave him that, that might work out as a mud logger too with his geology degree. And then the two other trainees are actually have been moved up to supervisory positions already after 2 months. So, but those guys were telling me that their training actually, especially with getting PEC certified, is actually added more in their wage. Actually, they're getting paid more, and it's a nice, it's nice for the companies too, because this way they don't have to. These individuals are paying our company, Energy Safety Institute, for training and for the safety training, for one thing, and then oil and gas training, obviously. But when they get out there, they are that company doesn't have to pay a dime for their safety training for those individuals. They're already ready to go. I mean, they're ready to step into their boots and their coveralls, you know, with a company name on it and hard hat, and get out there and go. Take their drug test, physical, obviously, but they're ready to go. They're not going to be like a deer caught in the headlights when they get out there in a well pad. I mean, they're going to know exactly what the equipment is out there if they're on a frack job. So,
and run through those list of services that your company does again, the Energy Safety Institute.
Yeah. We provide oil and gas training. Basically, I cover all the operations out there: drilling, completion, production, we do a PEC safe land safety training course. It's an 8-hour course, and then once they get that card, they're certified for life. That card never expires. So, but like I said, they're going to get an oil and gas training for 6 to 8 hours. It's basically going to be my 35 years in the business from every, in 35 years, I've worked for 9 different companies and held 13 different career positions, from geologist to landman to drilling completion production engineer to senior engineer in completions, water, vice president of a company, business development manager, and also an automation tech too as well. So I think I've covered everything. I've never worked in a refinery, but downstream, but they'll say upstream, midstream, I guess. So,
well, kind of wrapping up here for this interview here, we'd like to check in a little bit later on with you. I'd like to ask you when we have a little more time about some of those high school kids and vo-tech schools and that sort of thing, because sure, you're cultivating for tomorrow. And one of the big issues right now in oil and gas is the amount of people retiring. And if the young people, or even the Gen X people, the millennials and them that are coming in, if they have an understanding and a respect for the industry that's been built, you know, you and I talked about a lot of these guys don't understand the value of the hard work. What I keep thinking of is, I don't think they understand the respect that has gone into the industry and the relationship with the land and all that other stuff, because, it just seems like energy is becoming so politicized these days that it's really too bad, because energy shouldn't be political at all. And it actually should be. Some of the amazing technology that's been going in to it should be absolutely revered, along with, like you and I have just talked about for the last half hour, which is, it's really jump-started the global economy. So, I mean, there's so many different angles to look at this. And you've got a big responsibility cultivating these kids, is what I'm getting at.
Yep, sure do. Well, I enjoy it. I always wanted to be a teacher, so kind of inadvertently, I think I finally am one. Jason, they call me anytime on my cell phone, 814-897-3610. You can email me at mforjone_4@msn.com.
And that's Mike Forjone, right?
That's correct. Yes, sir.
Cool. Yeah. All right, sir. Well, thank you much. And we'll be talking down the line here. Like I said, I'm going to check in with you more often because I want to find out not only about the Marcellus, but some of this educational cultivation stuff, because it's one of the most important and critical things going on in the oil and gas world right now that doesn't involve fracking.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, we're looking for big things up here in the next couple of months, we're going to be starting some things.
To listen to the full-length interview with Michael Ferjone with the Energy Safety Institute, or to listen to other Coffee and Capitalism features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. Coffee and Capitalism Radio is part of the Crude Life Media Network. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. All of those social media links are available at thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
With a blanket, there's a certain thing that I hear ringing that you got your mind blown. Mind blown, your mind blown. I'll show you something that's never been shown. Your mind blown, your mind blown, and that's all you need to know.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
You feel a little dizzy. You're talking kind of silly like you have plans to save the world. Just remember your past will only last if you don't take off your mask. When the outside's chilly, the inside is warm. You've been wishing you'd never been born. All I can say is that you try to behave and try not to get your mind blown. Something that's never been shown.
Over the past few months, I've told you about how unbelievable Hatch coaching is. Well, don't just take my word for it. Listen to what Greg Tavine of Emerging Prairies has to say about Hatch coaching.
Yeah, I mean, this guy gets people laughing. He gets people thinking. He's somebody that challenges and inspires. And what I think is so beautiful about Eric is he's real. I think the number one thing that I look for in speakers when we bring them into our platforms is that they're that person 365 days a year. Eric is not just a speaker on a stage. That's who he is at the grocery store. That's who he is when he's at the mall. But Eric is somebody that lives his values each and every day. And I think we can all respect that.
To find out more about Hatch Coaching or to have Eric Hatch speak at your event or company, visit hatchcoaching.com. That's hatchcoaching.com. Or call 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
June 15th, save the date. That's June 15th, the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. That's June 15th. Be sure to save the date today, and we'll see you June 15th at the Bakken Barbecue in Dickinson, North Dakota. Welcome back to Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. Up next, we're going to hand the baton off to multimedia kidpreneur Otis as he sits down with the president of Continental Resources, Jack Stark.
Hello, my name is Otis with the Kids of Capitalism KidCast, and we're here today with Jack Stark, president of Continental Resources, and we're going to ask you a couple questions. Is that okay?
You can.
All right. What was your first job, Mr. Stark?
Oh, my first job. It was actually mowing yards.
Mowing yards?
Yeah, I started out, I was 9 years old when I think back. And I started out with just a couple. I ended up getting it to where I had all I could handle in a week, and just myself personally. And so I think I got up to like 15. And,
wow, that's
and
a lot of
it was, well, it was a lot of knocking on doors and a lot of hard work as well. But it really taught me a lot because it taught me how to step out. I mean, be an entrepreneur, step out, and you know, if you want business, you got to go find it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to deliver, and you got to deliver a product.
Yep.
And it's got to be good. And I remember having this one elderly lady who was very, very specific on how things needed to be done. So she taught me all about quality.
Why is the energy industry a good place for young entrepreneurs?
For young entrepreneurs? Oh, gosh. You know, the thing I love about the energy business is that it's always changing and growing. What I've loved through the years, and I think would be great for anybody looking to get into this business, is that it's not a stagnant business. Technology and the evolution of technology has allowed our business, the changes I've seen, I guess I'd say, in the last 10 years through technology are just phenomenal. And in fact, the whole energy renaissance that we've seen is a result of technology, allowing us to harvest rocks that were previously just considered to be source and seal, never reservoir. Now we're actually able to tap into those rocks and produce the hydrocarbons that are in those reservoirs through horizontal drilling and the fracture stimulation technology we use today. So that was stuff that was never on our radar. And I started out as a geologist when I was in college. I actually started out going into biology.
And
I don't know if you want to know all this.
Fine.
Okay. Well, I started out in biology because I loved oceanography, and I realized that, that I was in Ohio, and I was a long ways away from the ocean, and that probably wasn't the direction for me to go. So I always liked rocks and geology. I went into it, but I did not know where the career opportunities were with geology. So I just did it because it was my passion and what I loved. And so the doors that have opened is I got my degree and then moved into the energy business are way beyond any of my expectations. So I think the opportunity to grow personally and professionally are great.
All right. This is our last question. What advice do you have for young entrepreneurs?
Follow your passion.
Follow your passion.
Follow your passion. I mean, that will drive you through low times and high times in your career and just your life as a whole. I mean, if you're passionate about something, it isn't work, and it makes it much easier to deal with changes.
All right. Well, I think that concludes our interview with John Stark, President of Continental
Jack
Research.
Jack Stark,
not John Stark. My bad.
That's good.
And President of Continental Resources.
All right.
Thank you for taking the time out of your day to do an interview.
You bet. Thank you.
Appreciate it very much, dude.
All right.
It's just you and me and baby singing it like we did in the good old days. Yeah, we're singing it like they did in the good old days, because we're back to the way.
Music on today's program is written and performed by the Moody River Band. The Moody River Band has a new album hitting the downloadable streets on April 1st. For more information on the Moody River Band, their links, and their music, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com, and click on the Musicians tab. This is the Moody River Band.
Because we're back to the way. Back to the way.
it's a companion piece of legislation to the bill that we passed on 45Q, or carbon capture, sequestration, and utilization tax credits. This will be make it easier to move the CO2. It will help develop those products by providing the infrastructure. And so our Use It Act that I introduced with Senators Whitehouse, Senators Capito and Barrasso, advanced, and we're hopeful that it can get unanimous consent on the floor of the Senate so that we can provide the additional tools to make sure that our coal industry remains competitive and vibrant well into this century.
Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack, who not jump over the candlestick? Why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
And that concludes this week's episode of Coffee and Capitalism Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. For a full list of today's guest and interview, visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. We'll be back next week on this radio station at this time. For a full list of our radio affiliates and other media partners, please visit our website, thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. My name is Jason Spies, and from the staff here at Coffee and Capitalism Radio, we're asking you to be happy, make money, and give back. Thanks for joining us this week, folks.
Sign on our front porch saying, hot stuff for sale, why don't you do now? Like the millionaires do. Put your stuff on the market. You can make a million too.
Seems like no matter who I talk to in the world of business these days, people are telling me about the success of Hatch Coaching. Listen to what Jeff Schatz, superintendent of the Fargo Public Schools, has to say about Eric Hatch and Hatch Coaching.
I just thought that his story about how he talks about the struggles that he and his family went through and having children, and how, you know, everybody has a hot mess, and how do you deal with that in life? And I just thought that really resonates well with, you know, folks. And so I thought that would be a great message for everybody to hear. Well, then beyond that, I've also seen Eric do some of the other things that he does with emceeing and leading other types of things that he does. He does coaching, I know, with students where the principals have hired him to come in and do that. So I just extended that opportunity for him to be the MC too. He was very well received.
For more information, call 701-212-1572 or visit coachingwithhatch.com. That's coachingwithhatch.com.
Meridian Energy Group of Belfield, North Dakota, is building the most technologically advanced oil refinery on the planet, the Davis Refinery. A project designed to achieve emission control levels the industry has never seen before. The Davis Refinery, working for North Dakota. MeridianEnergyGroupInc.com.
Jason Spies, the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Let's bring in Jason Spies, who is a multimedia journalist in North Dakota. Jason, what's your thought on this?
My dad always listens to Jason Spies.
No one does an interview like Jason Spies.
Jason Spies is the most trusted voice in the Bakken.
Love listening to Jason Spies on the radio, and if I miss him there, I catch him online.
You know, I don't know what justifies being placed in history books, Jason, but in my book, it's in there. This is a good thing.
Is your boss watching this? You need a raise.